Okay, praise the Lord. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about finances, kingdom finances, which is a whole lot different than worldly finances, right? I mean, how we approach it, how we think about it. One of the biggest problems when it comes to operating in God's kingdom economy is fear and worry. Even if it's a subtle anxiety. Can you agree with that? Because this whole world, as Jesus said, they are what? Seeking, what do I eat? What do I drink? They're seeking things. And it isn't always, they're just seeking a fancy car or something. They're consumed. I have to take care of myself. And he's saying, I don't want you to be consumed with that. I want you to be consumed with me. Now me, him. Right? He wants you to be consumed with him. Doesn't mean you don't work, but it means you're doing his agenda and you have a faith and a confidence within you that he's going to take care of you, that he is going to do what he said, add all these things unto you, right? That he's going to do it. It may come through a natural process, but he's going to make sure that you have what you need at every stage of your life. Every day you're going to have food to eat, you're going to have clothes to wear, you're going to have a house, you're going to have what you need. Amen? That he's going to add all these things to you. That you don't have to be consumed with these things. That you don't have to have that, even that subconscious anxiety deep in your soul that you're not even aware of anymore. That's what he wants us free from. Amen? Sometimes we'll go through the sifter a little bit where it becomes real apparent where it's like, 11:59, you know, and he's testing you not to tempt you, but he's testing you so you can see where you're at, and you can come to a place where you can just throw your hands up, speaking in your soul, and just say, I trust you. You might have an opportunity to try and work it out in yourself, but you know it's not what God's calling, and that's for our benefit. So that we can come to a place of confidence and trust in him. Also, if we are going to be able to be trusted as stewards in his kingdom to transfer large amounts of money, this worldly possession can't have any control over us. Amen? Where we don't look to it. We don't look to things to provide for us. We look to him. Let's go to our notes here. Freedom from fear and worry. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see that all the victories of God. In Hebrews 11, we see that all the victories God worked for his people happened through their faith. Fear and worry hinder faith and hinder what God wants to do for and through you. Fear and worry is normal for this world. How many of you know you're not normal? Yeah. Tell your neighbor, you're just not normal. I know you've been wanting to say it to him. There's your big chance. Fear and worry is normal for the world, but God's holy word commands us, do not fear. He doesn't want us to have any fear, no anxiety, no worry. The only fear we're to have is the fear of God, where we fear to walk away from him, or we fear to do what he tells us not to do, but no other fear. Not because he's going to reject us or something like that, but that's the only fear, no other fear. If World War III and the economy drops and there's an earthquake all in the same day, we're not to fear. And you say amen. Right? Fear is a powerful force that hinders God's blessing. Oh, let's read Deuteronomy 31:8. I love this verse. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I mean, that is the basis of why we do not have to fear. He went before us. He goes before us. He's with us. And He ain't leaving. So don't be afraid. You know, well, I know He's with me now, but how's this going to work out down the road? Well, He's already there. God's already there. Isn't that cool? That we are in time, but He's not. So when He tells us it's going to be okay, He's not saying, He's not going, oh, I really hope it's going to be because I told Him it's going to be. No, He's already there. He's not in time. I don't understand that. Well, you don't really need to. You just need to believe it. Right? Right. Awesome. So fear is a powerful force that hinders God's blessing. I'm sure you've heard this verse, Job 3:25. This is what Job said. He said, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." What did he say? "The thing I greatly feared has happened to me." Now, Job was a righteous man, but yet he wasn't a man that was strong in faith yet, as far as trusting God to protect him. Right? He was in great fear. And if you read the text even before that, he was constantly making sacrifices for his children. Oh, they might have sinned. And he was constantly in this dread, like he didn't have the peace of God in him. God wants you to have the peace that He's given to you. I mean, His peace is wonderful. And we just really got to be honest with something. Most of us think we've, you know, oh, I got the peace of God. Well, you might not. You know, you might. It's really possible to get so used to having that anxiety and worry that you really don't even, you just get used to it. And you don't even realize you got it. But you still do have it, and you don't have the peace of God. You feel responsible to take care of things. We're not talking about your responsibilities in life, but that the weight is on your shoulders for things. And that's not God. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Proverbs 10:24. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. So what is fear? It's when we don't expect that God's going to take care of us. When we question, now hear me, when we question His love, oh, I don't question His love. I know He loves me. Well, once again, a lot of times we have a mental assent. God loves me. He's there for me. But it's not really grounded and rooted in our soul, where it's transformed the way we really think. You know? Do that trust fall thing? What if they sneeze when I fall back? You know, I don't know. Do we really believe God has got our back every moment of the day, every step of our life? In your notes there, fear and worry are the result of not expecting God to help and assist you in any area of your life. Let me read that again. Fear and worry are the result of not expecting God to help and assist you in any area of your life. Now, I'm not even going to ask you, have you had fear before? But do you have fear now? Do you have anxiety? Do you have worry? Once again, worry and anxiety may not be a paralyzing thing, but yet it's hindering the peace of God and the faith that wants to rise up in you. Psalms 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. That's where we got to get to. We know that. The Lord is on my side. Once again, not just a mental assent that, yeah, God's on my side. No, God is on my side for everything. He is with me. He's gone before me. He's with me. He's not going to forsake me. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not let worry or anxiety have any place in my life. I am going to trust that God is going to take care of me. I'm going to be fixed on doing His agenda and He can take care of the rest. If I mess up, I'm going to repent and get back up and know that His love is enough and He's going to be there for me. Amen? Amen. Mark 4, you know the story, but let's look at it. Mark 4, verse 37 through 40. And a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, here, read it with me. He said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, was he looking for an answer? Or was he asking them a question because he wanted them to ask this question of themselves? Why are you so fearful? Well, what was the answer? Because a boat was filling with water. And if that continues, we're going down. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And the answer again is, because if natural circumstances continue, or because of the circumstances, we're about to die. But notice that Jesus didn't let any natural circumstances, he didn't let any natural circumstance become an excuse for fear. Even if they were about to die in the natural. Are you hearing this? You know, have you ever, maybe you've been in a situation or saw someone in a situation where they were all worried, but they really didn't even have a reason to worry. It was just their perception of something. You're like, just chill out. There's not even an issue. So you could tell them, you know, don't fear. There's not even no problem. Jesus wasn't doing that here. He wasn't saying, what are you guys all worked up about? It was just a few drops in the boat. No. The boat was filling up. So something needed to change. They were on course in the natural to sink. But Jesus says, why are you fearful? Let's look at the notes there. Jesus did not expect them to be fearless because there was no negative circumstances. They were to be fearless because they were to expect that they would be helped by God. Let that sink in. He doesn't expect us to be fearless because there is no situations that are real bad in and of themselves. He expects us to be fearless because we're to expect that He is going to bail us out of every one of them. He's going to be there in the midst of it. And when it looks bad and it looks like there's no way out, we recognize that He's with us and He's going to be the way out. When we're in the situation and it looks like there isn't enough, that He's going to be in that situation and He's going to be enough. Even if it is at 11:59:59. Can somebody say something? Hallelujah. So the remedy for fear is to have faith in God's promises and provision. What did Jesus say? How is it? Let me say it right. Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? So what's the remedy for fear? Have faith. But here's the problem. Sometimes we think it's normal to have fear. Well, you ain't normal. We live in a world, we've been conditioned in this world, and fear for the world is normal. But you are not normal. He expects us to have faith. Therefore, he expects us not to have fear. He's gone before us. He's with us. He ain't forsaken us. Therefore, do not fear, have any dread. Right? That was our verse out of Deuteronomy 31:8. Last point there. Pay attention to any area where you do not have complete peace in your soul. This is where faith needs to be strengthened. Look at Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not! For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Look at what he says. I've redeemed you. You're mine. And then he says, oh yeah, by the way, when you end up going through the fires and through the water and through the floods, I'm going to be with you. He didn't say, I've redeemed you, and therefore, it should all be all nice now. Everything should be smooth now. I've redeemed you, I've called you by name, so it's going to get wild. You better look at me, because I'm going to be with you in the fire. I'm going to be with you in the water. When it looks like there's not enough, I'm going to be with you. When it looks like there's no way, I'm going to be the way. When it looks like stuff's crumbling in on your life, I'm going to be there as the rock. Look at me. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Wow. David was freed from fear. Look at Psalm 34:4. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Go to 1 Samuel 21:10 in your Bible. 1 Samuel. Couldn't put them all in here. So 1 Samuel. You ready? Oh, that's not it. Must be 2 Samuel. No, it ain't. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Yikes. Wow. Okay, there we go. 1 Samuel 21:10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, look, you see that the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So the moral of the story is, fear makes you insane. No. David was afraid. David, the one who killed Goliath. David, the one who killed hundreds of Philistines. Why? It's amazing what discouragement can do. When you have an expectation that this and this is going to happen, and this didn't happen when you thought it was going to happen, and then you kind of wonder, well, is God going to have my back here? And that's where David was at. Because Achish is saying, this guy is enemy number one, if from what I understand. And David's feeling alone, feeling that discouragement is trying to set in. And at the moment, fear that was in him took over. And what? He does what the only thing he can think to do is act like a crazy man so he doesn't look like a threat. And God lets him get away with it. So he could go and go, oh, what was I thinking? You ever had one of those moments? Oh. Let's read Psalms 34:4 again. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. David turned a corner. It was a process, but he turned a corner. It came through getting in these situations and, okay, I was afraid, but that's not normal. That's not how I'm going to live. I'm going to live in the peace of God no matter how crazy it is. David sought the Lord. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who sought the word of the Lord, right? And his heart was changed in the midst of the fire. Spiritually speaking, right? And therefore, the things that used to make him afraid, he wasn't afraid of anymore. That's where we have to be. See, it's one thing to be afraid. It's one thing to be in worry and anxiety. It's another thing to stay there. Amen? In your Bibles, go to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. It's a great psalm. Psalm 3, verse 1. You ready? Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. So his problems are not diminishing. His problems are increasing. Right? But what does David do? He goes to bed. Sometimes that's the most spiritual thing you can do in the midst of chaos. Is go to sleep. Right? I gotta... Stop it. I gotta... We'll get... Go to sleep. Right? David says, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. But the Lord is with me. The Lord's my shield. He's the one who lifts up my head. He's the one who gives me confidence. So I just laid myself down and went to sleep. There was 10,000 around me. 10,000s around me. What? 10,000? 5,000? 10,000? What's the difference? God's with me. I went to sleep. No, No. It's time to sleep. Come on, somebody. See, hard work is good. But when it rests on your shoulders, it's not. When you feel like it's on you, it's not on you. Right? You know what I'm talking about? That pressure, that anxiety, that's not from God. To be disciplined, to work hard, that's God in what you're supposed to do. But I got to, and if I don't do it, no. No, that's not God. Okay, you're going to have to look these up on Apostle Paul here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You learning something? You getting something out of this? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What a blessing that we can live in the peace of God. That we can have peace in our heart, peace in our life. In this world, we'll have tribulation, but we can do what Jesus said, which was be of good cheer, because He's overcome the world. I mean, what a great promise He's given us. In this world, you'll have tribulation. There's a promise for you. You're going to have trials. But He said, why don't you just go ahead and be happy, because I've already overcome them. In the fire, I'll be with you. In the water, I'll be with you. When it looks like there's lack, you look to me, and I'm going to provide. When it looks like stuff's caving in, you look to me, and I'll work it out. No reason to fear. No reason to worry. The boat's filling with water. Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? How is it that in the moment, that you didn't just go, hey, this is bad looking, but God's with us. I don't mean because Jesus was in the boat. Yeah, that's true. But I mean because He is with us, right? So we can call out to Him in any situation and know He's going to save us. He's going to spare us. He's going to provide for us. See, me and God, we got this little deal. I don't worry about having enough, and then He just takes care of things. It's a great deal. It's a deal I couldn't refuse. Even if things get worse. Because I don't want to just maintain either. I'm looking for a way to be proactive, to expand more, to get more into the kingdom. And I can't do that if providing for myself rests on me. Because that's going to immobilize me, or at least keep me where I'm at. See what I'm saying? I want my faith to grow. And it can't grow where fear is dominating. Fear is normal for the world, but you are not normal. What did you learn in church today? I'm not normal. 1 Corinthians, talking about Paul here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Look what he says here. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring you the testimonies of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Well, that sounds like a great overcomer. This was earlier in Paul's ministry. Holding that thought, I want you to go to Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. Go to the left, not too far. So Paul confesses to the Corinthians that when he first came to them, that he was fearful. There was trembling in him. He wasn't feeling like he was on top of the world. You ready? Acts 18, verse 18, or verse 8? No. Yes. It's actually, yeah, 8. Put B there because... Never mind. Just read the whole verse. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, who? Corinthians. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So this is where Paul's at. He's in Corinth. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid. What did God say to him? How did Paul say he was when he came to him? In fear and trembling. And what does God say to Paul in a dream? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you. For I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid, Paul. I'm going to make sure this one goes okay. You're not going to get attacked in this city. Because he had already been attacked many times. I don't know about you, but a lot of people don't like that once, much less every city they go into. That could get more than old. And especially when you're starting to become a household name in some places, and you can start to feel a little intimidated, right? You can start to wear on you if you let it. Now, he was there in the city, right? The fear didn't keep him from going in. But the fear was going to keep him from stepping out into everything God wanted him to step out in. But God says, don't fear. Don't fear. I was here before you were born. It's okay. Speak what I tell you to speak. Right? Like he told Jeremiah, don't be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Don't draw back at their, or else God's saying, don't get into fear, or else I'm just going to let you go. But if you go in faith, he said, I'm going to make you as an iron wall, or something to that effect. Don't go to Philippians. I'll just tell you what it says. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die, gain. Now, how easy that is for us to say. For me to live is Christ, and to die, gain. How easy it is for us to throw that on a greeting card or, you know, to say it in a sermon. Oh, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But these were reality for him. He was living crucified with Christ, and he was saying, to die is gain, which is coming for me around the corner here. Maybe sooner, maybe later. It's all good. It's in God's hands. See, this was a reality. This wasn't like, oh, for me to live, and it's Christ, and die is gain. No, he's like, I'm going to be killed here around the corner. It's okay. It'll be better. What was he doing? He was removing all the power of that fear. Man can't do anything to me. He was being changed, right? Now, I would say that even in the beginning of his ministry, he was a man of faith, but he was becoming stronger in faith, right? Place where fear had a hold, where a little bit of a hold, didn't have that hold anymore. Can you say amen? That's where it has to be with us, where fear has a hold on you. We're talking about finances, but it could be, you know, your life as far as what am I going to miss out on? What am I not going to have? Look at this, and I got to try and people, they set aside the plan that God has for them because they're so afraid that they're going to miss out on something. Don't be afraid. You got to trust God. Amen? Acts 21. Not too far away. You there? Acts 21, verse 12 and 13. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Was that the consensus of Paul in Corinth? Not really. Right? I mean, he was there knowing he could die. But Paul's a changed man. He's not afraid anymore. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just trying to show you how he changed. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and 18. He says here, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, what does that mean? Well, quite literally, they fed people the lions in that day. But what is he saying? It was not time for me to go, and although no one stood with me, it's okay. Because the Lord's already been here. He knew no one was going to stand with me, and he stood with me. What if this happens? And what if that happens? Well, what if they do this? Well, the only question you need to ask is the Lord with you? And the answer is yes. What if I don't have this? Or well, what if the Lord's with you? Not saying everything's going to be easy. In this world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You'll overcome. We have to learn how to rise up in faith, not because everything's smooth, but to rise up in faith because there's a storm, right? Verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Second side. I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. So they say that finances are the biggest reason that, I don't know if it's true or not, but they say it, who they are, I don't know, but whatever. But they say that finances is the biggest, or we'll just say a big reason. I mean, I think we can all probably agree with that. It's a big reason that there's trouble in marriages. What does that have to do with the marriage? It has absolutely nothing to do with the marriage. I mean, usually, unless there's a disagreement. But what does financial problem bring? Anxiety, fear, and worry. What does that bring? Usually chaos, you know, of some sort, you know. Blaming and all this kind of stuff, all right? So, back to the other point. Fear makes you crazy. It's normal to the world, but it's not normal. Right? Anxiety, worry, fear. We've all been there. And none of us are probably there yet. But that's not normal for the kingdom. Fear is not normal. Anxiety is not normal. Worry is not normal. Peace is normal. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost when everything's smooth. No, regardless of how the circumstances is. If there's a storm, we got to learn how to rise up and speak to it and not be fearful. What's that fear going to do? It's going to cause you to look for a way out. Get the life preservers. No. Stand up there and speak to that thing. Right? All right, I think I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. Freedom from the worry of lack. We don't get true freedom from anxiety and the fear of lack by having a lot of money saved up, or by getting a good new job, or by being in a good economy. True freedom comes from learning to trust God to supernaturally supply to you all things that you need. Once again, I'm not saying don't work. What do you do? I'm trusting God. You don't know. But you don't look to any job as your source. You work as unto the Lord, as it says in Ephesians and Colossians. Are you in Luke chapter 12? Now, I'm not going to read the whole parable, but Jesus tells this parable in verses like 13 through 21 there about a rich guy. Well, first Jesus says you need to be aware of covetousness, because this guy says, "Hey, tell my brother to give me my part of the inheritance." And Jesus says, "Man, who made me arbitrator over you?" And then he says, "You need to be careful. You need to be aware of covetousness, for your life isn't about the things you got." And then he says, "Let me tell you a story." He didn't say it quite like this, but I'm paraphrasing. He said there was a rich man who had land that was producing really good. And he said to himself, "What should I do? I don't got enough room in my barns. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And then he says in verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." What did he say to his soul? Take your ease. Where did his ease come from? Where did his peace come from? His peace came from the fact that he had a lot stored up. Whew, I can breathe easy now. And Jesus is saying, that is going to bind you. You can't find peace in that. You have to find peace in him. Soul, take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And then he says, "But God said him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now, I'll just interject this. It's not necessarily wrong to save money. What if God calls you to make money by investing? Well, by default, you would have to save money, right? So it's not like you could never save any money, but it's the focus of your money and where you're finding your peace. Amen? Verse 22. This is what I want to get to. This is our last section of scripture here. I gave you nice lines to take notes. I'm going to be checking your notes back there. They get extra points, right? Okay, verse 22. Definitely. Verse 22. "Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry." Just go ahead and tell your neighbor, what you worried about anyhow? He tells his disciples, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. What does that mean? Life is more than food. Did God intricately form you in your mother's womb, breathe the breath of life into you, caused you to be able to live with organs and cells in a way that is beyond what scientists can figure out, even though they think they can, somewhat? It's amazing. And God's saying, I did it all. And now you're worried about this one little aspect of food. You think I'm not going to take care of you? Every breath you take is because you are in his hand. Without him, you couldn't take your next breath. And we're worried about this situation coming down the road or whatever? Is there going to be economy, this bill, this situation? God's greater. God's greater. So we got to start to think different. See, sometimes we've gotten used to living with that, even though it might not be a paralyzing fear. Now listen to me, it may not be a paralyzing fear, but it's an anxiety where it causes us, there's that little anxiety there, and it hinders the faith in our heart. So we don't see the provision that God has for us like He wants to do for us, and we get used to that. And we really, and so that it becomes, you know, the Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. We start to get used to it, and we really, and we can, you know, we start to think, can it really happen? I mean, that's how it is for some people. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen? God's not a respecter of persons. All right. So what does He tell us to do? Well, first, verse 23 again. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. Consider. What does it mean to consider? If you look at the Greek word here, it means to really set your mind on this for a second. He says, really, I want you to zero in on this. I want you to think about the birds. I want you to think about the ravens. Think about, consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap. He's not talking about in the offering bucket here. He's talking about they don't plant crops. Right? They don't sow nor reap, which having neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Look at those three words. God feeds them. So, you ever seen a bird planting seed? What you doing? I got to plant. I got to take care of myself. Plant seed. No, you've never seen that. You never seen them storing it up in a barn. But He says, God has made sure that the food that they are, that the food they like to eat, I guess, I don't really like to eat bird food, but the food they like to eat is there for them. God feeds them. I love that. God feeds them. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't go farming, they don't build barns to put their food in it, but God feeds them. God makes sure they have the food they need every day. And then He says, how much more valuable are you than a bird? Are you twice as valuable? Three times as valuable? Even that's crazy. Our value is, the value of a bird doesn't even compare to a value of a person, right? But He's saying, God feeds them. But God makes sure. Amazing. God makes sure. I mean, He is privy. He knows, it's in His mind. Does that bird have food? And He has made sure that that bird has food. And then we're going to worry and fear about not having what we need. He says, why don't you think about this for a second? Just think about this. Why is He telling us to think about it? Because obviously we've not. Because so many of us, we've worried and have anxiety. So you need to think about this for a second. Let God in on your finances. Let God into your life. Don't block Him out through fear and worry and anxiety anymore. Amen? God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? Verse 25. I love this. And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Okay, I'm going to stand here. I wish I was a few inches taller. I'm going to worry really, really hard right now, okay? Really hard. I mean, like I'm so much, like I don't even know if people are going to love me anymore. I'm 5, 6. I'm just going to worry here. I probably won't even sleep tonight. Now, if someone come up and measure me, did I grow any? And He's saying, if you can't get yourself to grow by worrying, why do you worry about your finances? It's a question, again, that we need to ask ourselves. Not just, He's not saying, why are you doing that? No, He's asking us the question so we ask ourselves, why do you worry? Because it be, What is worry, fear, anxiety? What is worry coupled with? I got to do something. And it's almost like if I don't worry, it's going to be detrimental to me. And we don't really think of it that way, but our brain gets conditioned that way. I have to worry. I have to worry. If I don't worry about it, then who's going to worry about it? Well, see what I'm saying? Or see what he's saying, really. If you can't grow one cubit by worrying, then why do you worry about these other things? You got to ask. He asked the question, so you need to ask yourself the question. And you need to think about it. I gave my little 2 cents there, but you need to think about it some more. Especially if you got worry and fear about anything. Right? Your children, you need to take care of them. But if you fret over them, then you need to ask a question. Why am I worrying? Right? Or any situation. Right? Why am I worried what these people think about me? Right? Are you worried about what certain people think about you? Why? Ask yourself the question. Do they hold your destiny? Do they? You need to think about these things because these weird thoughts are in there and they control us if we don't address them and go, oh, that's how, okay, let's think. Because it's normal for the world, but it ain't normal for God. It ain't normal for his kids. Verse 27, consider, set your mind on this again. I want you to think about this. Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. You never see the lilies weaving the loom or whatever, right? They're not working hard, picking cotton, weaving the loom, dyeing the cloth. But man, that's amazing how they look. Aren't lilies cool looking? All the guys are like, what's a lily look like? They're really cool. I checked it before this afternoon. They're really awesome. Okay. Anyhow. But God says, they're here and they get burned in the fire the next, you know, they die. But God clothed them. He makes them so beautiful. And he's like, you think God's not going to take care of you? How much more will he clothe you? And look what he said, how he ends that in verse 28. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? How would you like it in the middle of Jesus' sermon straight to you? He says, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, me? That must have been for my neighbor. No, he's letting them know, up until now, you have had little faith. He wants them to make the record straight. You've thought and acted normal for the world, but how that is not normal for the kingdom. It's a paradigm shift. Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Look at that. I know we've talked about this, but we need to think about these things. Do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink. We can say it like this, do not seek your provision. Does that mean I don't work? No, we've already addressed that. It means we're on kingdom agenda, right? Let me ask you this. What if I told you, well, back so many years ago, I was looking at my options for an occupation, and I figured I wasn't too good at so too many things, but I figured pastoral work, that would pay well. You would think I was crazy, but I think that'll pay well. I think there's some openings out there. That's what I'm going to do with my life. You would think, you would probably have a problem with that, and rightfully so, right? Right? Well, is it different for you? Should it be different for you? Well, I took the job because it was the best one. Yeah, best one how? Well, the most money. And I'm not saying that you're not going to take the job that pays the best, but you're on kingdom agenda. We're not going to look at it today, but in Colossians and Ephesians, when Paul talks about these things, he says, if you work as unto the Lord will be the one who pays you. So, just me personally, if I couldn't get a job, I'd go find somewhere to volunteer or something, and I would work under the Lord and say, Lord, you got to pay me. I'm working under you. I'd go pick up litter in the street and say, Lord, you know, I'm not, you know, if that's what I, all I could do, and say, Lord, I'm waiting for my paycheck from you. I mean, not literally, but you're the one who's going to take care of me. Right? And I'm not saying this is exactly what I would do necessarily, but I'm just saying something. Right? Am I crazy? I am to the world. Verse 29, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have a what? Anxious mind. These two things go hand in hand. If it's going to fall on you, you're going to have anxiety. You're going to even if it's a subtle anxiety, you're going to have anxiety if your provision is dependent on you. You work as unto the Lord and have a peace and a rest that God is going to add all things to you. See, this is a breakout moment in your head if you've struggled your whole life. I know what it's like to struggle in times. I know what it's like to, but in those opportunities, you can't let the opportunity form how you think. You've got to let the Word of God form how you think. You know, when you have one of those moments where, like David did, where he took it into his own hands because of fear, you got to say, okay, I'm not doing that again. We're going to trust God. Verse 30, and do not seek for all, verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. We're going real slow here. I love those words. He says, your Father knows that you need these things. Can you see God saying to you, I know you need these things. I know what you need. I know what you need. God, I need. God's like, I know what you need. God knows what I need better than I know what I need. Right? Verse 31, but seek. What do we do? Seek. What does that mean to seek? It's not talking about we're looking under rocks and we're opening closets. Where did it go now? No, seek the kingdom is to pursue the kingdom. God's agenda. Right? Seek the kingdom, but seek the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. I like God's math there. Right? I seek His agenda. I seek to do what He's calling me to do. I trust Him. He adds everything I need to me. Verse 32. Do not fear. Says it again. Do not fear. Do not fear. Little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that a super, I know I've asked this question, but I'm going to ask it again. Is that a supernatural thing? Yes. For God to give you the kingdom? It's a supernatural thing. Now, will it always look supernatural? Not necessarily. Who feeds the birds? God does. But when you see the birds eating, do you always go like, you see God walking to the bird and going, here, birdie. No, you don't see that. But through natural process, God has caused everything for that bird to be there at every step of the way. He's even put the wisdom in certain birds to know where to fly at certain times. We call it instinct. But it's wisdom from God that He's placed within them. Awesome. You know what? There's wisdom in you to know what to do at certain times. But sometimes people still do the wrong thing because they're so fearful and they try and do it, fix it themselves. So verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason behind it, because he wants our heart to be in the kingdom. But he says, God says, I want you to open a bank account with me. I want you to have a focus on giving. Doesn't mean you won't have a bank account in the earth. That becomes very beneficial for things, right? But he's saying, I want you to open a bank account with me. Learn how to be a giver. And what does it say in verse 33? Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens. Where are we seated? We're seated in heavenly places now, right? So do we have access to what's there now? We do. But he says, if we have access there, then you need to provide yourself money bags which do not grow old. It will be an eternal thing, but it's a now thing also. And what does it come down to? Living without fear. Living without fear. Amen? Wow. It's time to live without fear. Without anxiety. So we got some stuff to do. You got some places to send me. You have some people to feed. You have some crusades to pay for. Amen. This, as I said, this ministry, we tithe as a ministry and we also give. Remember when we gave to the orphanage, that was not tithe, that was on top of it. We've given more since then, not to that amount, but we have. And then we tithe too and give offerings. But I want to give more.
Yes.
I'm believing for a grand right now. I mean, I'm not taking an offering. I mean, I'm believing for a grand to give. I'm gonna believe by that within a month. I'm gonna do it. I haven't thought about that, but I have now. We're gonna do it. Not the ministry, myself, and Marie. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. I just felt like it. I guess to challenge you. I wouldn't usually tell you that. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Obviously, if I'm believing for that to sow, I don't have that. But I will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Where's it going? I don't know, but it's going to go somewhere good, and it's going to go to where he says for it to go. Amen? I want to get you out of the box, because God ain't in the box no more. I said that a few weeks ago. They can't find the Ark of the Covenant. God ain't in a box no more. So you might as well not be in a box either. Amen? Let's pray. And just ask the Lord to expand our thinking. Let faith arise. Hallelujah. In any spirit of fear, worry, anxiety, bows its knee today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I decree that it has no more power over your life, no spirit of fear, no worry, no anxiety, no dread has any power in your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we just apply the blood of Jesus to our thinking right now, our mind, our spirit, our soul, our body. And Father, we just thank you that faith, your faith that you've placed within us arises, God. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Father, I thank you that this word produces faith in us today. And we don't fear, we don't worry, we don't have anxiety. But we've turned the corner. We've turned the corner. We've turned the corner. We've turned the corner. Thank you, Father. And from here on out, we're growing. We're not where we're going to be necessarily, but we've turned the corner and we're growing. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for blessing your people. God, I thank you. Your word says that you give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, the God who supplies and multiplies the seed you have sown. Father, I thank you for supplying seed to sow to your people. And I thank you for showing them where to sow it. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Not pressure from me, not pressure from a person, God, but your leading. That we wouldn't give out of necessity or grudgingly, but there would be a joy knowing that we're just a steward. That you gave us the money to channel to the right area. And so we do it, recognizing that you're going to take care of us. Hallelujah. Say this after me. I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Now I want to ask you a question. When you said that, could you say it with confidence? Could you say it like, am I supposed to be or am I going to be? No. Let's not go there. Let's not go there. Say it again. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say it again. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Amen. Get comfortable with that. This isn't about us seeking riches. It's about recognizing we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.